Good morning.
Welcome the visitors that we have. We're very glad that you came to worship with us.
We're going to start our lesson real quick. I don't know if it's stank or I guess stank would be the best word. Dick kind of started this off about a month or so ago. He had a Sunday evening lesson on "The Truth Shall Set You Free." I had a lesson sitting waiting to go, and I thought, well, I'll give it a couple of weeks, you know, before that. We've done that numerous times, but I've often thought how interesting it would be if maybe the men on the Sunday nights, maybe for a month, we all do the same passage. We would have different takes on it, different angles of looking at it. And so even though Dick used this passage in this verse recently, I think hopefully we can get some more benefit out of it this morning. It's titled Truth. And I tell you, in this day and age, the truth is not always obvious. I look over time about how, you know, in my life, there was a period of time when, and I may be saying a name that some people aren't aware of, there was a newscaster at night for decades, Walter Cronkite. The man delivered the truth. And he was chosen numerous years as being the man that most Americans most trusted. And today, I'm not going to get in an argument or a discussion, but I tell you, the mainstream media today, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. It's in my opinion, not news, but propaganda. But the idea is, we need to know what the truth is to set our direction for, to know what truth and falsehood is. The lack of truth is one of the biggest weapons in the devil's arsenal. He was called the father of lies. And so we need to know and should know the truth. There's various teachings in the world on truth, that truth is relative, that it doesn't have an end set result, that it changes with time. It changes with culture. It changes with circumstance. No. It's set. Truth is truth. Now, there are things that are cultural. We don't speak with, you know, there was a period of time when many Americans spoke with a British accent because we were being ruled by England. That has changed over time. There are things that do change. We don't still use horses and buggies. But those things change with time. Truth doesn't. Truth does not change. There's a teaching that what's true for you might be true, might be a different set of truth for somebody else. That contradicts itself so much. Just the sound of it. Truth for you might be different than truth for me. That doesn't even sound logical. And that there's no set standard. Well, there is a standard. Our passage that Rader read this morning, I think this was the same passage Dick based his lesson off of. In John 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus was talking to the crowds, and he says, in verse 31 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's a very short passage, but it has a lot of meaning and a lot of punch. Who was Jesus addressing in this passage? It says it right in verse 31. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. Not all the Jews believed who he was. But there were those that did believe. He was addressing, you know, he said to those that did believe him. What did Jesus tell them? He said three different things. He says, if you abide, and that little bitty word if is so much bang for your buck there. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. He told them that. He also told them, and you shall know the truth. And at the last part of verse 32, he says, and that truth shall make you free. Three things he told them in that short, short address. One, he says, if you abide in my word, you've got to abide in my word. Not just any word. Lots of people have different things that they were teaching and professing. But if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. Why it's important is that word that Jesus said is what's going to judge us in the last day. That's why it's important. It's not just that it's a different word than somebody else, or that he had a different presentation than somebody else, or that it was a little more flowery than somebody else. This word that he is presenting to them, that word is what we're going to be judged by. That is the standard. There is a standard. We're not going to be judged by everything else. He says in John 12:48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in that last day. And so when Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. That's powerful. John 1, verse 7, we see that word if again. The Apostle John wrote, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we see a couple of results that come from that. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's reassuring. That is reassuring that if we abide in his word, not only are we his disciples, but by being his disciples, we have fellowship with all the other people that abide with his word. We have that fellowship with each other, with the like-minded brethren. That's comforting. And the second thing is the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, continues. It cleansed us once and it cleanses us. It's present tense. Miss Christopher is rolling over in her grave right now, my old English teacher, that I retained anything out of English class. But the present tense is, it's ongoing. It means it's present. It means it right now. And it means it 5 minutes later and 3 years later. It's ongoing. And when we are his disciples and when we're walking in the light, his blood is cleansing us from his sin. The second thing he mentioned, that Jesus mentioned to the crowd, you shall know the truth, goes right against what a lot of people in society says, well, everybody can know the truth. That truth for you is different than truth for me. That truth is different. It's based upon circumstance. It's based upon situation. Well, then it's not truth. If it changes with the direction of the wind, it's not truth. You shall know the truth. What is the truth? It's Jesus. That's the truth. You shall know the truth. I am the truth. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is, for lack of a better word, the conduit to get to the Father. We are reconciled back to the Father because of Jesus. The relationship that had been, that we had fallen away because of sin, and God knew it and loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how much he loved us. And Jesus reconciles us back to the Father. But Jesus tells a three-point issue. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. That's what this truth is. It's Jesus. Jesus would say himself in a prayer when he was praying the night that he was betrayed in John 17:17, Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And Jesus did not say anything contrary or outside of what the Father said. And that word that Jesus said is what's going to judge us in that last day. Some of the things we need to make sure that we know the truth is not. It wasn't the law of Moses. Remember who Jesus was talking to? He was talking to the Jews who believed in him. And the truth is not in, cannot be found, not that the law of Moses was false. Let's get that straight. The law of Moses was true, but Jesus came to fulfill it. And the truth is not contained in the law of Moses. It is found in Jesus. The truth is not found in the teachings of the world. We, in our Sunday morning Bible class, we're talking about families. And one of the unbelievably big responsibilities that parents have is teaching their kids, teaching, training, and modeling. to their children God's word. Not just teaching them, but modeling it. And that's important, but it's so important to teach that rather than what the kids are hearing out in the world. And it's not denominational teachings. And when I say denominational teachings, I'm meaning religious sounding messages based on religion, based on a belief in God, but are not based on the Word of God, based on men. We saw on the day of Pentecost, it said that when the Jews were together in Jerusalem, devout Jews, they were devout. Cornelius was a devout man, a religious-minded individual, did a lot of good things, but he still wasn't a Christian yet. We see in Paul's address on Mars Hill in Athens, when they're leading him around the Areopagus, and he's looking at all the different temples and idols and the altars and so forth, and he says, "I perceive you are religious." They were, but their religion was based on idolatry. They were devout. They were probably, I'll give it to them, consistent. But it wasn't based on the truth. In Colossians 2, Paul would write to the Christians in Colossae, he says, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Talking about the law of Moses. That these Jews that believed in Jesus, Jesus had told them that you're going to learn the truth and the truth shall set you free. Paul is saying the same thing. You Jews, it was the law of Moses was nailed to the cross. You don't have to try to adhere to it any longer. In Romans 10, Paul would write, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." His whole being, if he had the magic wand, it would be for his cultural brothers, Israel, the Jewish people, that they would find what he had found, that they may be saved. It says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God." There's no question about that. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. That's what Jesus was telling them. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And the last thing Jesus told those Jews that believed him is this truth, you shall know the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from taxes, free from debt, free from illness, free from mean neighbors? No. It doesn't mean that we've got the force field around us, that nothing bad will ever happen to us. Wouldn't that be nice? Free from the requirements of the law of Moses that we could never measure up to. Was the law of Moses bad? No. We could never measure up to it. It was a great ideal to strive for, but we could never accomplish it on our own. We are free. That truth is going to free us from the constantly ever-changing standards of what truth is. I joke about I think eggs are on the good side now. For years it was the bad because of cholesterol and blah. You know, it just keeps swinging back and forth. I've always liked eggs, and so they've always been goodies for me. But it's always changing. Different vitamins, different this, different that. Whether something is good or bad for you, those standards change. The truth setting us free from those constantly changing cultural acceptances. It frees us from sin. We don't have to be held hostage to sin anymore and captive. We are free from sin and we are free from hell. We do not have to go to hell. How rewarding is that? In Mark 7, Jesus is talking and says, he answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You look at how often commandments of men shift with the winds. As men change, as times change, you have different standards. But Jesus knows the difference, and he came to give us the truth. And we'll end up with the same verse. Jesus was talking to a group, and this probably hit them right between the eyes. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's encouraging to us that we can know the truth. There was a group of people at this time called Gnostics that taught that we know the truth, but you can't know it. Jesus is saying you can all know the truth. We can all know this truth, and that truth will set us free. If you need to respond to the invitation today, it is so good to see Ramon with us. Be prepared for a lot of hugs around your neck, Ramon. Ramon's been working up in Reno the last couple of years and here with us this morning. We're glad to see him. If you need to respond to the invitation, we encourage you to... Did this go out? Nope. If you need to repent of sin in your life, if you need to request your brothers and sisters' prayers on your behalf, or if you have not been baptized. If you're not baptized, you're not a disciple. Not being mean, Jesus said that. Is this a prayer request? Jesus said himself, Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Have a prayer request here that we will go to God. Request prayers for Valerie Lopez. She is She's fighting a battle of obesity. Her mother, Yolanda, is very scared for Valerie. She's only 6 years old and is extremely obese, which is affecting her health. And also for Kaz to make the right choices. So let's go to God in prayer real quick on behalf of that. And when we sing the invitation song, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward and we will address your needs. Let's bow together. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you so much for the love that you give us, that you loved us enough to give your only begotten Son as a perfect sacrifice to forgive us of our sins. We thank you. We thank you that Jesus provided the truth for us to know and that that truth will set us free. Dear God, we come to you on behalf of a couple of individuals right now that have requested prayers. We ask that you be with Valerie Lopez. Help her, help the doctors, help her family deal with this problem that she has of obesity. It is so bad for her health. Please let her get this under control now at a young age before the problems compound. We also ask that you be with Kaz to make the right decisions in life. That's a prayer we all have. We all have choices to follow your word or not. And we ask that Kaz will make the right decisions and that we also make the right decisions to follow you. Please be with us. Forgive us for the things that we do wrong. And we pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Michael leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing together.